Good morning. I'm Tyler Hollenbeck. I'm the youth director and seminary intern here at Covenant. For those of you who know me, you know that I've spent the last couple of summers in the wilderness, backpacking and leading discipleship programs. And for those of you who have been on a camping or backpacking trip before, you know that being out in the wilderness often brings out the worst parts of people. If you ever want to know if you are a selfish person, go camping for a couple days and you'll figure it out. There's something about being out in the woods that brings in this Hunger Games type of mentality where all of a sudden food is just a drastic concern and you don't know where you're going to sleep. You don't know, weather can just ruin your attitude and make you absolutely miserable. Last summer, I was running this 8-week program for 16 and 17-year-old guys, and I spent 2 whole weeks backpacking up in upstate New York. Now, some of my friends consider themselves to be kind of good luck charms. When they go hiking and backpacking, it never rains. I, on the other hand, consider myself the opposite of that. Whenever I go hiking, it always rains. So on that particular 2-week trip, it actually didn't rain until the third day, which for me was a pretty good average. So on that third day, it rained all day. And I decided, somewhat foolishly, that what we would do is bushwhack up the side of a mountain with our full packs and try to find a trail. We'd take the trail down, and it led to a full day of hiking where I think we got into our campsite at 8 or 9 p.m. Keep in mind, it's still pouring rain this entire day. So we get into our campsite that night, and we're all just kind of standing in a circle, me and these 7 guys, and we're just looking at each other blankly with just nothing. There's no anything except for how do I get warm and how do I get food? And everyone suddenly starts to realize someone has to make this food for us, and it's going to involve not being warm while you're making the food. And that was when one of the younger guys, his name is Jack, he just kind of piped up and said, "Hey guys, why don't you go set up your hammocks and get in your sleeping bags? I'll make dinner, collect the firewood, and you guys just get warm." And everyone was kind of shocked and just kind of looked at Jack and mumbled, "Thank you," and kind of went their own way, myself included. And so in that moment, Jack was, that to me was a beautiful moment of kindness. Jack looked at these 7 guys in the circle and said, what they want is to be warm, they want to be fed, they want to be taken care of. And he put those needs in front of his own. There's no doubt Jack wanted those exact same things. But for him, serving others and being kind to them was more important than that. So we've been preaching through Galatians 5 this summer, through the fruit of the Spirit. And the one that we're talking about this morning is kindness. And so our question to answer this morning is fairly simple. It's just, how can we be kind? How can we be people who show kindness to others? And how do we learn to cultivate that kindness in our own lives? And so in order to answer that question, we're going to look at Titus 3, verses 1 through 8. Because Paul, in this passage, offers us 3 pictures to really answer that question and illustrate how we can be kind. So you can follow along in the bulletin or open your pew Bibles or just listen to me as I read. Titus 3, 1 through 8. "Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for all people." Let me pray for us. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this community and for how you speak to us through your word. Lord, we just pray that you would illuminate our hearts, convict us of sin, and push us towards your Son. pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you happen to be listening closely to the passage as I read it, your initial question is probably, why did I pick this passage? If I'm talking about kindness, it only talks about kindness once. And when it talks about kindness, it's God's kindness, not our kindness. So the reason I picked this passage is really because it offers us these three pictures for what kindness looks like. And the book of Titus, where this passage is located, it's not really a book that we often study. It's one of Paul's letters. He wrote some letters to churches and some to specific people. And this is one of the letters that he wrote to a man named Titus. He also wrote similar letters to Timothy and Philemon. So Titus was in charge of a church in Crete, which is where Crete is. It's the largest island off the coast of Greece. And Paul actually describes the people in Crete in the first chapter. It says, one of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons." So that's what Paul's working with here. Liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. So I think we're in better shape than that, but we'll see. So given that Paul was working with these kind of people, they're new to Christianity. Liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This is kind of who he's writing to, who Titus is ministering to. He writes this letter to Titus, and he gives them the most basic Christian advice. A lot of people describe it as basic catechesis, meaning the basic teachings. So the first chapter is all about, hey, here's how you set up elders and deacons to rule over these people. The second chapter talks about, okay, now let's teach solid doctrine and let's live a life worthy of the gospel. And then we come to the passage that we're looking at today, which is Titus 3. So as we look to answer the question this morning of how we can be kind, we want to look at these three pictures that the apostle offers us. So I'm going to define kindness for you, and this is how I would describe it. Kindness is the outward expression of love for another, expressed through specific actions that have their best interest in mind. So it's an outward expression as opposed to an inward. It involves the inward, but Paul uses different words to talk about what's going on in terms of our character. This refers to our outward expression, and it has the best interest of others in mind, not ourselves. So with the following definition in mind, I want to ask you a few self-reflective questions. Who is the kindest person you've ever met? What was it that made that person so kind? And when's a time that you recently experienced kindness? So what does kindness look like then? There's probably someone that popped into your mind, something about them, the way they acted towards you, the way they acted towards others, that made you think of this person. And the picture that the Apostle Paul offers us in Titus 3 is how he interpreted kindness. He said, respecting and obeying authorities, being submissive, doing good works, not being quarrelsome, being gentle, being courteous. These are all characteristics that Paul said, this is what kindness looks like. But what about on a daily basis? What does kindness look like then? Say it looks like buying a friend lunch. It looks like taking a friend to the airport at 5 in the morning. It looks like listening and taking interest in the life of someone, a coworker who normally you might just pass by. It looks like taking the kids out when your spouse needs a rest, or making a meal for someone when they're sick. Looks like serving the poor or offering grace to a stressed out friend. It looks like saying the right thing to someone who's struggling, or maybe not saying anything at all. It looks like forgiveness. Now, kindness is a trait that's universally praised. If you went out on the street right now and asked someone if they thought you should be kind, I don't think, there are very few old curmudgeons that might say, like, no, don't be kind, that's lame. Pretty much everyone is going to say, kindness, it's a cool thing. It's a good thing to replicate. In fact, in Vogue recently, there were these practice random acts of kindness. That's what we're told to do. And I even recently read an article in The Atlantic that said, where a secular marriage therapist said, the two keys to marriage success are generosity and kindness. So, naturally, the first two verses that we're looking at this morning, anyone would look at them and say, yeah, I think you should do those things. I think you should be kind. You should exhibit this picture of kindness. But next is where Paul's narrative of kindness kind of differs from the world. He takes a slight turn. So, the second picture that Paul offers us to help illustrate how we can be kind is really a picture of our past life. Paul says, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, enslaved to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. So Paul, in this third verse, has a causal clause where he roots this third verse, and he gives the reason. And so he says, the reason we are kind is partly because we used to be the opposite of kind. These seven characteristics are really an antithesis for the first six. And these seven characteristics, they really get worse as they go along. At the beginning, you're like, well, okay, it's okay to be foolish. Sometimes we're all foolish, or sometimes we're disobedient. But the last one is hated by others and hating one another. That is also not something we want to replicate. So I would say these characteristics could be summed up in one word. Well, it's a compound word. Self-absorption. And so the opposite of kindness is really self-absorption. And when Paul calls us to be kind in the first two verses, he says part of this reason is because you used to be the opposite of kind. Rather than thinking about other people, we often think about ourselves. Rather than being in relationship with others, we often use them or push them away. The reality is these seven things are sinful. And what sin fundamentally does is alienates us. It alienates us from God, and it alienates us from others. That's what happened to Adam and Eve, our first parents. They were alienated from God by their sin and alienated from others. And if you're alienated from someone, it's impossible to be kind to them. If you need any convincing of the fact that our natural bent is to be self-absorbed, that our natural bent is not kindness, but our natural bent is to look out for ourselves, to look out for number one, I'd love for you to try this. Go and say you see two toddlers. I don't know what context you'd see two toddlers. Maybe you have two toddlers. But say you see two toddlers and one of them has a toy. Take that toy from one of them and give it to the other child and just see what happens. I guarantee that the one child won't just say, yes, I'm glad you did that and gave my toy to my friend. That was a kind thing to do. No, they'll kick and scream and be upset because they want what is good for them. And I would say this morning that we want the same things. Our natural bent is not to go out of our way and sacrifice for others and do kind things. Our natural bent is to care for ourselves. So there are numerous things that block us from being kind, but first and foremost, what blocks us from being kind is our sin. And despite what the world may tell us, in order to be kind, we need something outside of ourselves. Kindness isn't something like practicing random acts of kindness that we can just conjure up and we can just try a little harder to go out tomorrow and be kind to someone. It's something that God has to produce in us. So the third picture that we'll look at this morning is how God illustrates our kindness by being kind to us. Paul writes in the fifth verse that when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly, through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So how can we be kind? How can we meet the needs of others and care for them, especially those that make it difficult to do so? We can be kind when we understand that God has been kind to us. Jesus embodies goodness and loving kindness. That's what it says. When the goodness and loving kindness of Jesus, our Savior, came. The kindest act that the world has ever seen and will ever see was Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Never before has an act been so much about others rather than about himself. Jesus dying on the cross for us, even though we didn't deserve it, and even though there was nothing that he gained from it by dying and suffering, but we gained everything. Now, the gospel cuts two ways. The reality is that Jesus has died for us, and that is the kindest act that has ever, ever happened. But the gospel gives us the bad news, like we said in the second picture, before it gives us this good news. First, it says that we naturally exhibit the opposite of kindness. That we naturally don't do these things. We don't move towards each other. We naturally don't want to say, hey, I'm going to get up at 4 a.m. and drive my friend to the airport. Some of you do, and I love you, and I'm thankful for you, because I don't have a car to drive to the airport. But most of us don't do this. But right after it offers us this bad news, it offers us the good news. And that's that Jesus Christ died for our self-absorption. He died for our foolishness, disobedience, deception, slavery, malice, envy, hatred. The list goes on and on. And what I want to say this morning is that you can't understand how kind God is to you unless you understand how undeserving you are of that kindness. Until we understand the weight of our own sin. That's why I love the song we sang this morning during the confession time. To thee I come, a sinner poor. It's a beautiful picture of how much we need the gospel and how much we need God to be kind to us. And as we more deeply understand how kind God has been to us, it naturally pushes us out to be kind to others. And this understanding, this is why Paul says elsewhere in his epistles, that he says, I am the chief of all sinners. Because as Paul meditated on how undeserving and ungrateful and wicked his own heart was, he understood even more beautifully how kind God has been to him. Now, God is our exemplar of kindness. We have this idea of reciprocity where we think, okay, if I'm kind to someone, if I look out for their interests, there will be some reciprocity there. They will then look out for me, and they will be kind to me. And God mocks this idea of reciprocity. He says in Luke 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, that God is kind to the ungrateful and evil. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. He models true kindness by being kind to those who will not be kind back to him. Now, some people are very hard to be kind to. That's an understatement. And there are really two types of people that are hard to be kind to. First, there's the type of people that are hard to be kind to because of how much they've hurt us. The people that have hurt us so deeply and shook us to the core that we couldn't even imagine being in the same room as them, let alone being kind to them. And God is calling us to be kind to them, but maybe not in the way that you would initially think. That doesn't involve making them a meal or visiting them in their home and listening to their day. It might just involve praying for them once, or when in your mind you really just want to hurt that person, stopping those thoughts. Kindness starts with these little, small actions, especially towards those who have hurt us so, so deeply. Then there are the other people who are difficult to be kind to because we are sinful and petty people. This might just be your roommate who never, ever, ever does the dishes, or your coworker who just seems so smug when he walks by your office every morning. There's some people that just annoy us, and we are cold and bitter towards them for almost no reason. But I want to say that both of these people, the people who have hurt us so deeply, and the people who have barely done anything to deserve how mean we are, Being kind to them starts by believing that God has been kind to us. That's what can move us from a place where we worry about ourselves to caring for others. Now, you might be listening to this sermon and thinking, geez, I'm not a kind person at all. No one would describe me as kind. But part of the gospel is about being transformed. And there might be the kindest non-Christian that you've ever met, and you might be way less kind than them. But the gospel is about being transformed from an old creation to a new creation. And what happens is, we don't know when we meet someone how unkind they were before. We don't know how God has been working in their lives. And so you can see small strains of how Jesus has been working in your life to make you more kind. And this summer we've been talking about these fruit of the Spirit. And fruit of the Spirit, that's a possessive word. It means these are the Holy Spirit's fruit to give and the Holy Spirit's fruit to bear. And so as we answer this question this morning of how we can be kind, the first answer is simply we can't. We desperately need the Spirit to produce these things in us. But He does this by us stepping out and trying to be kind, by us stepping out and partnering with Him to reach those in our lives, those who are closest to being kind to them, and then those whom we barely know. Kindness will not be produced in your life by simply trying to conjure it up. It'll be produced in your life by relying on the Holy Spirit and stepping out in faith that He can produce this fruit in you. And the gospel has two words for us. For those of us who think we're plenty kind and think we're doing a pretty good job at exhibiting these fruit of the spirits, it says that you were bad enough that Jesus Christ had to die for you. And for those of us who think, I don't know if I can ever truly be kind, there's so many people who are so much more kind than me. It says that through the Spirit, because of what Jesus has done, the Spirit will make you kind. In Jesus Christ, God has both modeled kindness for us and enabled us to truly be kind by outwardly expressing His love for us on the cross. That is the kindest act that has ever happened. And if we believe in that kindness, if we believe how kind God has been towards us, we can step out and be kind towards others. Those who are easy to be kind to, the people we love the most, and those who are so difficult to be kind to. So how can we be kind, you ask? By reaching out to others in love, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me pray for us. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your kindness towards us. We thank You for the way that You love us and that You sought us, even knowing the deepest and darkest sins in our life. Even knowing these dark parts of us, You were kind towards us in Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that You would impress this kindness on our hearts so that we can move out and be kind to others. Lord, we love You and we know that this plan You have for us to exhibit these fruit of the spirits is Your will for us. And so we ask that You would produce them in us. In Jesus' name, amen.